If somebody has a cell phone, you might want to check to see that it's turned off or vibrate. Guess who? Lord Nrisingadev. I'm going to be continuing with the set of prayers by Prahlad to Lord Nrisingadev from previous visit. We're going to begin with text number 43 from Canto 7, Chapter 9. And just seeing this image, I thought I would tell you a little story. The history behind this deity. I heard this from Janani Vas. He's the head pujari. He and his brother Pankajangri, head pujaris there for over 40 years. Very senior member of our society. There was a circumstance where some people broke into the temple in the middle of the night to steal the deity, little brass deity of Radha Madhava, because particularly Radharani looked very golden, and they thought maybe she's made of gold. So in the middle of the night they entered into the campus and on the property and right into the altar and stole Radha Madhava and ran. And when they were running, the devotees woke up and there was gunfire, and it was very dangerous. So within the next couple of days they decided, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did at the Chaitanya Mat, there had also been some dacoits that broke in, so they established, he had established a Nrisinga deity at that temple. So the devotees decided we should also get Nrisingadev to come to Mayapur to protect the temple and protect the deities and protect the devotees. So they did some research and they found the most reputed carver of deities of Lord Nrisingadev was in a certain place in South India. So a group of devotees booked their tickets, contacted the man, and they went to discuss, negotiate terms of the size and the type and all the details of the deity purchase. On the way, it was a night train, one of the devotees in that group from Mayapur had a dream. And in the dream, Lord Nrisingadev appeared in a particular feature, his Ugra Nrisinga feature. And he woke up. And when they reached the murti maker, this devotee described the feature and thought it might be Lord Nrisingadev's message that he wants his deity form to look like this. And the deity maker was very familiar with that particular pose. It's just before he pounces on Hiranyakashipu. His arms raised, his nails extended, his teeth showing. Pounces on him. So they worked out an arrangement with the murti maker. Half of the full payment was given, and at such and such time the deity was to be completed and they would be notified. They'd come back, bring the balance, and bring the deity back to Mayapur. So it so happened that there was another gentleman somewhere in South India that was envious. They don't know if he was exactly envious of Prabhupada or envious of ISKCON or exactly the target of his envy. But he found out that the devotees were planning to have Nrisimhadeva installed in Mayapur. So he went to the murti maker and tried to bribe him. And said, I'll pay you double. Whatever they said they would pay, I'll give double, give the deity to me. And he said, no, I'm an ethical man and I made a commitment and I'm going to fulfill the commitment. But you might be happy to know that this particular deity of Lord Nrisimhadeva, his Ugra Nrisimha form, if someone makes him an offense before the deity, they'll be destroyed. And the man said, very good. Let them get the deity quickly. So the deity was finished and the devotees came to pick up the deity and the murti maker told the devotees that he was visited, gave the name of the man that bribed him or tried to bribe him, and he said, you better watch out for this man. He said, what I didn't tell him was when the deity of Nrisimhadeva, this form of Nrisimhadeva, is worshipped along with another primary deity of that area, that place, that temple, then he takes on the mood of that primary deity. And so this, the offense thing becomes different, becomes... So at that time it was Radha Madhava in the Ashtasakis. And then later it was, you know, as you know, the Panchatattva is the central deity in the planned future temple. I don't know if you know what that plan is. There's three altars. Nrisimhadeva will have his own dome and his own area separate altogether, because that's the standard. Nrisimhadeva, when worshipped, should have his own place, his own altar, his own arrangement. So the main altar will have the current disciplic succession from Srila Prabhupada to Lord Chaitanya, with murtis of each of the members of the disciplic succession leading up to Lord Chaitanya. So Guru, then Gauranga is the Panchatattva altar in the middle, and by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, one gets the mercy of Krishna. So Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakis will be on the right hand side. So Lord Nrisimhadeva is very, we heard earlier prayers from this chapter, the Ugra feature of Nrisimhadeva is meant for Hiranyakashipu and not for the devotees. And the merciful nature of Lord Nrisimhadeva is meant for the devotees, and Prahlad knows that. And he speaks that in his prayers. Now, the three prayers that we're going to hear are have two main features. One of them is compassion, because Prahlad knows, because he's an intimate, pure devotee of the Lord, he knows that the Lord wants to offer him something. I mean, the devotee doesn't want to accept anything. Pure devotee doesn't want to accept anything, but he knows that the Lord wants to offer him, so he can't just say, no, don't offer me anything. But his concern is not for himself. His concern is a concern of compassion. Now, compassion is a characteristic of the quality of goodness in all religious traditions that I'm familiar with. Compassion is high on the list of values that any religious teaching or spiritual teaching holds. Then there's expanded and totally transcendental compassion. So the distinction between the two is compassion is our whole presentation of the retreat that we're having in Gitanagari in Memorial Day weekend, you're all invited, please come if you can, is going to be on Vaishnava compassion. And a feature of Vaishnava compassion is nonviolent communication. So a worldly sense is if someone has some hardship, out of compassion, you feel for that hardship and you do something about that hardship. They're hungry, you give them some food. They're destitute, you give them some place of shelter. They're medically challenged, and so you open a hospital and offer help that way. So you're on the platform of the body or the mind. And then transcendental compassion is relieving the soul of the material condition entirely. No more disease, no more hunger, no more pain, no more material existence. That's transcendental compassion. So Prahlad has that transcendental compassion, it's going to show in these verses. He is clear about the material circumstance, and it's more than compromising for the soul. It's very troubling. And his compassion goes to the soul and wants the souls of all who are in their material condition to be relieved. And then the other is often quoted verses. Prabhupada had, you'll see, two phrases that he would speak again and again and again and again and again and again, these three verses that we're going to cover, indicating like the grain of rice and the pot of rice, the essence of material existence, the futility of material existence, something that, I'll say it twice, it's so important and powerful. Prabhupada said on more than one occasion that one of the primary duties of a spiritual master is to thoroughly convince the disciple of the abject futility of finding happiness through fruitive activities. This plane that we're in, this Bhumandala, Bhuvar and Svarga Lokas, from Gayatri Mantra, this Bhumandala, this earthly planetary region, is a place of passion and fruitive activities. Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa. From Bhagavad Gita. Urdvam Gachanti Sattvastha. Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa. Adho Gachanti Tamasa. The higher planets are characterized by sattva. This middle planetary region is characterized by rajas, passion, fruitive activity, striving, building, creating, working hard, endeavoring, winning, building, owning, controlling, enjoying, partying. And adho gajshanti, one goes down with when one is influenced by ignorance. So the place where we are, passion is very popular and prominent and pervasive. And spiritual teachings try to encourage persons to go to goodness from passion and from goodness towards transcendence. So Prahlad recognizes, he's just a six-year-old boy, but he recognizes through the teachings of Narada, he recognizes the unwanted feature, the Ugra karma civilization. Ugra is just like Ugra Nishinga. Ugra karma. Ugra, nasty and harsh, dangerous activities, intense material endeavor. And it brings people misery. So that's another feature. He's very clear about the unwanted part, and he's very clear about the wanted part. And so these prayers are prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. You want to give me a benediction. I want the relief of the conditioned souls who are suffering from this material. We'll see. Here's the translation. Oh, best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So the stage of perfection, there's 9 processes of bhakti, and Prahlad's perfection was in Vishnu Smaranam, constant remembrance of Lord Vishnu. So for him, he just thinks of Lord Vishnu and everything's nice. Whatever outside is not nice, inside it's nice. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says one who is absorbed in happiness within can be in any situation. However, there's another civilization. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. That's a little contradictory. He's using this fools and rascals language and saying he has love for them. But he's recognizing the foolishness is looking for happiness in the temporary. And when people have that fruitive activities, and they use the fruits of those fruitive activities to buy happiness, it doesn't really bring happiness. It brings a lot of confusion, and ultimately it brings sadness. And he knows it. So in Prabhupada's purport, he explains, the position of one who does not take shelter of the Lord, that's these fellows down here. And so they're under the control of the modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Only being controlled by these three ladies, because their prakriti, they're the influencing forces of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And it doesn't matter whether one is the employer or the employed, the laborer or the businessman. They're both in this unfortunate circumstance because they're completely under the control of the modes of material nature, seeking happiness through one activity or another activity. Could we just bring this down a bit? The little thing in the front, the leg in the front, if it goes down a little bit, we can read. Can we center it now? There we go. Okay. Throughout the entire world, this is Prabhupada purport. Everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world, and this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have been described herein as vimudha, fools. So, everyone needs to make a plan, and the plan is happiness. And happiness looks like the tip of the iceberg, but underneath the tip of the iceberg, there's not a whole lot of happiness. Striving to make this unnatural habitat our permanent home, the world is temporary. And And we may make whatever endeavors we want to make it a place of permanent happiness, but it's not going to be successful. Forgetting one's real self and finding comfort in this world is the most dangerous way of life, Prabhupada. That's this Maya Sukhaya Bharam phrase. But it goes on and 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 on, forever adjusting, planning, arranging, ending up with Maya Sukha. Could we go somewhere between where it's up? Okay. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, from Bhagavad Gita. This is Krishna's description of this world that we live in. Krishna is the intelligence of the intelligent, the prowess of all powerful men. Okay, from the phrase of Bhagavad Gita, as you see, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, there's things of this world that people aspire for, but in the end it's all destroyed. So one becomes attached to a situation of happiness, and that place and the happiness is destroyed. So it's a trick. It's Maya's trick. The lure to chase after the happiness that ends up being distress. So what Prahlad is saying, this is right from the verse, Twad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachitaha. Again, Prabhupada repeat this phrase again and again. Twad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachitta. Wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So that's the happiness of the devotee. Here is Srila Prabhupada radiating happiness, and I don't even know if the devotees can understand what he's saying, but they look very happy. The nature of Srila Prabhupada was guru, which means heavy. So sometimes, I wasn't in the room for these things, but Prabhupada would sometimes tell Bengali jokes. And no one can understand the Bengali joke. Unless you're Bengali, you don't understand the Bengali joke. But then he would say the joke, and then he would laugh. And it was like a body laughter. His whole body would move, and everyone would laugh. Because it was, just Prabhupada's joy was filling the room. And then suddenly he would sometimes become very serious, very grave, and the room would become silent and serious and grave. But even in those situations, it was instructive, and so it was for purification and upliftment of the devotees. Wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So there may be a situation of difficulty, like this image of Prahlad being pushed off a cliff, but that didn't change his position of always remembering Vishnu. In any circumstance. And one who is always thinking of Vishnu, Vishnu is always thinking of that devotee. It's right from Bhagavad Gita. Right in Bhagavad Gita. So two more verses. He's anticipating Lord Nrisimhadev may want to free him from his material existence, but he doesn't want this freedom from material existence on its own. He's concerned Vimimoksha eko na, in the red letters there. Moksha. He doesn't want liberation alone. My dear Lord Nrisimhadeva, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mona Vrata. There's this described up here. I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor, there he goes again, fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. That's this phrase here. Anyam tvadasya sharanam brahmato dupashye. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a series of kind of like songs or phrases. Dushta mana, wicked mind. And one of the wicked mind verses is exactly this one, that wanting the adoration of the public, one may go to a secluded place and chant the holy name for one's own deliverance. Oh, wicked mind, just simply seeking respect and adoration from others. He doesn't want that. He doesn't encourage that. And Prahlad Maharaj also doesn't encourage that. Not a terribly well-known personality in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is Vasudeva Datta, but I'll describe. How many here have been to Mayapur? Good number. And how many have been to Mamgachi in Mayapur? So one of the islands in Mayapur. Mamgachi. Mamgachi is a place where Vasudeva Datta lived. And there's ruins behind, the ruins of his house. It was not just a house, it was a palace. He was fabulously wealthy. But he was very charitable. So much so that he was always giving away all of his earnings, and he had nothing to maintain his family even. Very, very charitably disposed. So one day Lord Chaitanya told Vasudeva Datta, come here, and you have to take care of your family. You're too charitable, and so I'm going to put somebody in charge of your finances. Shivananda Sen, you're very good at administration. You take care of his finances. So he can still be charitable all he likes, but he has to take care of his family. So one time when Vasudeva Datta was visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with all the other devotees for Rath Yatra, and then staying for some time after Rath Yatra, he came before Lord Chaitanya and said, there's so many sinful people in this world. I have one request. Please deliver them all. And if you think they're too sinful, it's too much of a sinful burden, then I request you transfer all of their sinful reactions to me. I'll take responsibility lifetime after lifetime, however many lifetimes. Just please deliver them from material existence. My heart breaks to see the sufferings of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head. Let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. Prabhupada refers to Vasudeva Datta as, pardon this is Easter, but even greater than Christ. Because he was not just all human beings, all living entities in the whole cosmic manifestation, all the sinful reactions come upon me. Similar to the message of Easter, message of Christ's dying for the sins of others. Vasudev Dutt was prepared to do this for all the living entities in the entire creation. And serious. Lord Chaitanya said in response, Vasudev Dutt, you have purchased me. I am your property. You can do with me whatever you like. Then he turned to all the devotees and said it three times. I say it again and again. I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. He can sell me at any price. He can do with me whatever he wants. I declare it again and again. I am the property of Vasudev Dutt. He can sell me and do with me whatever he wants. Compassion, now it's not pretense, it's genuine spiritual qualification, not just saying those words. One who has genuine compassion, the Supreme Lord holds such a person very, very dear. They take so many risks on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord holds them very dear to him, as in the case of Prahlad. Prabhupada writes from this verse, the secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis. The karmis try to be happy by material adjustment. And the jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme, but the devotee doesn't want either of these, material adjustment or becoming one. This is a phrase from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya speaking. Krishna Bhakti Nishkam Ataiva Shanta Bhakti Mukti Siddhikami Sakale Ashanta. Shanta and Ashanta. Shanta or Shanti is peace. So The description is, as long as one has bhakti, the desire for material enjoyment, or mukti, the desire for liberation, or siddhi, the desire for mystic powers, those desires make the mind ashanta, not peaceful. But when one has the desire for Krishna's happiness, you connect your desire for happiness with Krishna's desire for happiness, that's the platform of peace, Prabhupada writes. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, yogis desire material opulence, therefore they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. But Prahlad is in this devotee category. Devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. So, this is a photo of Srila Prabhupada standing in line, obviously, at an airport, where he's like one of the businessmen with their briefcase and suits, and this was an era before they had cell phones. They would have been all hooked into their cell phone or two or three at the same time. But his business is Krishna's business, giving Krishna consciousness to ordinary people. Anyway, I'm not after respectful compliments by the public, but I am concerned more about my disciples. I want to see them quite capable to preach this sublime doctrine of Krishna consciousness, and therefore I wish to stay. Otherwise, I'm not attached to any place, either heaven or hell. Nice letter. Prabhupada to Brahmananda. And on pursuing this, one of the purposes of ISKCON, when he incorporated ISKCON 52 years ago, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. Of course, this is an image from Gita Nagari. Maybe you recognize the block house over here. And rural living is not the only way to have a simpler and more natural way of life, but it's most natural to have simple and natural way of life. But even those of us that live in cities or the suburbs or wherever we are, the way of life that's simpler and more natural is what's being encouraged. Now I'm just going to do one more sense, one more verse. There two go together, but time doesn't permit. So the network of the senses and the lack of sense control, the lack of control of the mind, it's all part of this Maya Sukhaya civilization. Same teaching is there in Bhagavad Gita. We'll see a few verses. The senses are strong, like serpents. But when engaged in the Lord's service, they become harmless, like serpents with broken fangs. This is Bhagavad Gita message. Here's an image of representing a Bhagavad Gita verse where there's five horses, each on the front having one of the senses pictured. And then there's reins, that's the mind, the steering mechanism for the senses. And the intelligence is the driver. And the passenger looks a little petrified in the back there. Because when the senses are out of control, then it's a dangerous ride. Unbridled senses can be very, very dangerous. So how do we get the unbridled senses in proper order? There's a hierarchy to all of this. Bhagavad Gita teaches us. Working senses. Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param manaha. Working senses are superior to dull matter. The mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And the soul is even higher than the intelligence. Yo buddhe paratas tu saha. So yoga, the teaching that Prahlad is giving and the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, is let the soul desire to be in service to Krishna. The intelligence can then be given how to direct the mind and the senses towards a spiritual objective. There's the next verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 43. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. Buddhi yoga, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Lust is not just gross sexual activity. It's the senses hankering, craving for contact with sense objects so that there can be happiness. And that's unfortunate, because then the real self becomes covered. But the real self can be uncovered if the process of yoga is carried out. However, you cannot control the senses if the mind is not controlled. Here's a verse from chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, that says, for one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. but whose mind is controlled and who strives upaya by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. It's pretty humble, isn't it? It's my opinion. And Krishna's opinion is fact. The concern that Prahlad has is in this Maya Sukhaya civilization, people don't have control of their senses. So that's the conclusion of this evening's discussion. Compassion is fortified by knowledge. Knowledge of the actual condition of the soul, the true identity of the soul, the complex situation the soul is in, the compromised situation the soul is in, because of not having a proper sense of direction and purpose, and minus proper sense of direction and purpose, the intelligence is lost, the mind is out of control, the senses are out of control, things are very turbulent. So, compassionate Prahlad understands the circumstance. He's desiring the deliverance of souls from that material circumstance. And the deliverance factor is bhakti, and ultimately bhakti is under the control of the Supreme Lord and his direct potencies. So that's our situation too. We have Prabhupada established temples, this is one of them, where the devotees could come together, worship the deity form, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, spiritual teachings, take prasadam, and gradually purify your existence. This is the bhakti process in a nutshell, all of which is that this the result of a compassionate Vaishnava. The verses are here about Prahlad, or our founder Acharya, the compassionate Vaishnava, on behalf of the line of spiritual teachers, giving these same opportunities to all of us, fostering loving exchanges, awakening through the bhakti process, the higher purpose of life. I was at a college program this past week, and one of the questions came from a graduate student who said, some people argue, why do you need a purpose in life? And my reply was, well, that sounds like a purpose. Purposelessness is a purpose. Like, you know, what's the phrase? An existentialist. There's no meaning. Well, there's a meaning. Life has no meaning. There's a meaning. Meaninglessness. Row, row, row your boat. You know that one? Gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. No meaning. Row your boat. No meaning. Where you're going, doesn't matter. There's no meaning. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. There's, you know, meaning. Eat, drink, and be merry. I met another, it's an interesting discussion. I invite you all sometime, you know, dedicate some time to reaching out to college students. You can learn a lot from college students. You know, the futility of material existence and necessity to have some spiritual clarity. One young man came and said, how do I find real satisfaction? I said, could you explain where your question is coming from? He said, when I was young, I had this dream. If I can just do really well in my academics, I can get into a good college, then I'll find satisfaction. So I worked really hard. I got good grades. I got into a good college. And I was thinking, if I just finish my bachelor's degree, then I'll find satisfaction and happiness. When I finished my bachelor's degree, I didn't find that happiness and satisfaction, so I thought I should go on and do my master's degree. And then I got enrolled in a good master's degree program and did really well, and I was thinking, when I finish, I'll find a good job and then I'll find happiness and satisfaction. And somehow I didn't find that good job, so I now I'm enrolled in a PhD program, and I've been thinking, you know, happiness is just around the corner and satisfaction is just waiting. And then a little light went on that said, you know, I think I'm heading in the wrong direction. Not like, you know, I like my academics, but where's the satisfaction and contentment? So I started reading different spiritual books, and I'm confused because there's so many different ideas out there, and, you know, how am I going to find satisfaction and happiness, contentment? So we opened up to Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prayojataha, Janiyatiyashu, Vairagyam, Jnanam Chaya, Dahaitakam. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Yirhoksaje Ahaitukiya Pratyata Yayatma Suprasidati. So Suprasana is happiness, and Suprasana is complete happiness. And when the Atma comes to the place of Suprasana, you can be in a PhD program or a sweeper in the street and you can be happy because it's Suprasana condition. So continue with your studies, but learn this process of bhakti, which is exactly what Prahlad is requesting Lord Nrisimhadev. Please be merciful to these people. Not just people. To all living entities. Deliver them. So the bhakti process is in its attainable in the human form of life. Please take it and be happy. So, any discussion, comments or questions? Just turn the lights on. Okay. Anyone? Yes. Can you toss the microphone up here towards the front?
Maharaj, just the other day we were having dinner with a college student. And they were expressing how they're actually involved in like six different groups of doing good for others. Just in the world we live in, there's so much marketing to evoke emotions that easily get people into this path of being good to others in a material way. It seems that not, to get us to really feel, like how Prabhupada would say, we need to feel compassion, or we need to feel caring for other other people in this world. To actually get to that point of seeing from a spiritual vision, you said it, compassion is fortified by knowledge.
Yes.
It's so... It takes maturity to get to that point, versus you can show somebody a video about refugees in America and all of a sudden, you know, you've got 5 people, 10 people wanting to join your camp. So could you comment on this, this idea of how do we, I guess for ourselves also, be able to connect to this idea where the emotions is so strong that we want to give and then help others come to that point as well.
Well, the short is association. And we need to evoke a spiritual conception and then apply compassion to the spiritual conception, meaning the association of someone that has spiritual conception. Otherwise, even, you know, the idea of a spiritual conception is notional. It's born of the mind, manodharma. Just heard Prabhupada use that phrase, manodharma. Just make up in your mind something. And because of the strength of false ego and the modes of nature, it comes back again to the physical plane, to the bodily plane. It doesn't go anywhere. There's no shelter. So we need association, how to evoke this higher conception, spiritual conception, requires association. And, you know, that's true for each one of us. So that we can receive a spiritual conception and so that we can be conduits or instruments, nimitta, instruments of Krishna to transfer a spiritual conception, but we have to have received it to transmit it. It's a challenge because the material the material circumstance is one of attachment and strong identification with the temporary. So it kind of, you know, it's even hearing about spiritual conception, we use the instrument of the mind to try to contain it and it doesn't fit. The mind can't encompass the spiritual conception. It takes an awakening of the soul, a transformation of consciousness, not just information. So the bhakti process has that power, and in the association of devotees, it's the point that you're bringing up is a really good point. It's a point that in the association of devotees, we need to contemplate and consider and help one another, starting with kirtan and how we engage ourselves in our exchanges, our communications and our worship and so forth. The goal is reached through good association, moving from a conceptual idea of compassion to this true spiritual compassion, the transcendental compassion. It takes association of a qualified person. Therefore, we make so much emphasis on reading Prabhupada's books because he had it. And just by reading his books, it's transmitted. The potency is there, the potential is there. You just have to have a receiver on and want the genuine thing. So, yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. So, by being compassionate, sometimes we try to help other person to bring that knowledge, to get that knowledge. So in that, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So in that situation, how to help?
You're speaking, you're trying to transmit transcendental knowledge, the other person, the receiver is off.
Mm.
What to do?
Mm-hmm.
Smile. Don't judge. mm-hmm. understand that if there's two things, at least, if Prabhupada was in this situation instead of me, would there be a greater effect? So the shortcoming is not over there, the shortcoming is over here. That's, you know, introspect. And so further purity is needed from my side. Then there can be a greater effect. And another is, in the mood of being or trying to be a servant, to my capacity I'm serving. Like Hanuman and the squirrel, to their capacity they're serving, and from Ram's perspective they're equal, although their capacity is different. So to your capacity you're serving. So then you go back to the first room. Let me become purified by, let me become a more qualified instrument. So it's not necessarily doing something different, or it's a question of consciousness. And so don't be judgmental that, you know, the other person, their stuck or they've got a problem or something like that. Don't be judgmental. The world is full of opportunity. The world is full of suffering. We can just play our part in trying to be an exemplary representative of the message of our disciplic succession. Let me live this message, and then my speaking will be more effective.
Thank you, Maharaj.
When we're acting as an instrument, it's not that our position is we're supposed to fix people's problems. That's a false egoistic conception. We're supposed to represent the disciplic succession and transmit, you know, in the proper way, and appropriate for the circumstance, time, place, circumstance. We don't own the problem, it's not our duty to fix the problem. Prahlad is looking at, you know, the problems and saying, yikes, you know, Lord Drishyangadev, please be merciful upon all these foolish people who are suffering unnecessarily. So part of his being an instrument is his prayer. But his prayer is being heard because of his purity. Well, Gopal, you have something? No? Okay. Looks like we're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.